So we start a series called Clash of Kingdoms. We're going through the book of Matthew. Please read through that with us. This week we read through chapters 4-7. And then next week, I can't totally remember what it is. Josh, do you remember? 8-12. Try that. It's good stuff. Amazing. I'm actually teaching on it, and I still can't remember all of it because I've been knee-deep in it. But I totally welcome you to jump in there. Before I get too far, I want to say to Cody and Sarah Olson, happy anniversary on the 4th. Yes. First anniversary. You guys doing anything special? I know, that's real. I don't even want to talk about the legality of what's going to happen. That's not even important right now. Just enjoy. Same celebration you guys had on your actual wedding day? Every year. That's so cool. Nice. All right. You're going to blow stuff up. Because you have brothers and a dad. All right. Anyway, so enjoy. I'm glad you guys are here celebrating with us. Hey, let's get right to it. Hold on. Let me explain something. Clash, right? I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember Clash of the Titans. Does anybody remember that? Okay. So Clash of Kingdoms is this budding of kingdoms, this challenge. And I will say to you that though God is gracious and has given us choice, there's really no battle between him and us. He's God. We're not. Battle over. Now, we fight it, and we do all kinds of different things with that. But this clash of kingdoms is where we see rule and reign the way we want it to be, and other people see it the way they want it to be. And God says, no, this is how it goes. It's my kingdom come, my will be done. And then we clash with that. And that's what we're looking at in this series on Matthew. And so, right off the very bat, off the top of my head, just like my hair, right? What did Jesus teach about more than anything else? Go ahead. Good. This is loving others. Love. Serving. Good. Grace. Taking care of others. Is that what you're saying? Say it again.
Kingdom of heaven.
I mean, all of what we could answer will be summarized in this. Kingdom of God. Now, Matthew was writing to Jewish people, and so he didn't want to offend Jewish people by using the name Yahweh. I find that like an honor, but a lot of times we can use his name in vain, like for no reason. We just say it. Before my mom and dad came to Christ, I heard the name Jesus from them, but not in a prayerful setting. Not in a worship setting, but in a swearing setting and a, like an exclamation point and all kinds of different things. But his kingdom and his rule and reign is what that means. And so you would look at this King Jesus and how he came. Does anybody remember? We looked at it last week. How did he come? Yeah, as a man, as a baby first, right? Like in the womb. This is pretty humble. This is very, very unsuspecting as far as we would go about things. Like a king probably needs to be born and raised, but we don't think of him as a king at that time. And if we did, he wouldn't be born with some hay around and some animals and getting, you know, the stock ready. And that's just not how that would go down for us. And so immediately when you think of Jesus teaching, you think of love and you think of life and you think of forgiveness and serving and humility, and all those are true, but it's all because it's an outflow of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And that's why it's very important that we understand that the kingdom of heaven isn't just up there and out there. He actually came here. And he showed us what that would look like. And so I want to get right to it. And so if you will you join me in Matthew 4? We're going to talk about like the very first preaching, the very first teaching that Jesus had. And if you don't have Bibles, we've got some. We had to get new ones. By God's grace, we've been able to give away a bunch of them. And I think people are reading them. It seems like there's some fruit of that happening. Like their lives seem to be showing that. And so if you don't have a Bible, there's a black one underneath your chair, underneath the chair of your neighbor. Please grab that. We're going to be in Matthew 4 and verse 17 on page 809. You got me up there? Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Andrew. All right, so here it is. Jesus has come. He was tempted. He hit the devil with the word over and over again. The book of Deuteronomy, he was tempted, and then he starts his ministry. Here's his very first teaching, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. I don't know if you know this, but everybody preaches something. Everybody. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, that means change directions, turn your heart, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, those are simultaneous in the book of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or it's near. The kingdom. I want to say this again. We don't use the word rule. We don't use the word reign. So the way God would lead is what the kingdom of God is. The way he rules, the way he reigns, that he would call us to actually submit to that. It started very, very early in the Bible, like literally the first chapter of the Bible. God made man and he made woman. He made them in his image and he gave him and her the authority, the dominion to rule all of creation. I don't know if you think about this. The word kingdom. I was listening to an old, like, well, old, only about 4 years old podcast. And they're talking about what is the word dumb, D-O-M, right? I think dumb, D-U-M-B, but it's this dom, kingdom, freedom, stardom, right? What does it mean? Well, it's short, really, for dominion. And so a king's dominion is his kingdom. Martyrdom, right, would be like this authority, this rule, this reign of a martyr. That martyrdom would be like living out, dying for something. In our case, or at least in the church's case, it would be martyrdom. You'd be dying for the kingdom of God. But freedom. Here we are. Some people are really stoked about 4th of July. Some people are just stoked about having time off. Some people are stoked about celebrating freedom. Not just the freedom to blow stuff up, although, yeah. And not just the freedom to have a day off, but yeah. But freedom, the dominion of being free. But freedom isn't free, as the old phrase goes. And so there's this dominion that Jesus is talking about, and he comes to preach us, and he says it's at hand. It's right here, right now, and it's coming in its completion. And so he says, I am here. The kingdom message, the king of that kingdom is here. And so we're going to look today very, very quickly at what some of that teaching of what the kingdom would look like. There you're going to see love. There you're going to see sacrifice. There you're going to see humility. You're going to see compassion. But the best way for us to be able to see it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we can acknowledge the kingdom that isn't our kingdom, Jesus said, is to repent. No more about my kingdom or his kingdom or her kingdom or my kid's kingdom or Donald Trump's kingdom or Putin or Putin or punk, whatever, okay? All those kingdoms. Nope, I repent of thinking that that kingdom comes, that is the will, and that's the reign that I'll follow. I'm following God and what he says. And so then Jesus teaches all the way through Matthew 4 through 7 about what this kingdom looks like. And so we're going to jump to 23 through 25. These are the results of his kingdom. This is the fruit of his kingdom. This is what it is. So Matthew 4, 23 through 25. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, in their churches, and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, or Decapolis. This is a city, 10 different cities, and they were not Jewish. They were not following Yahweh. And then from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan, everybody came and they were healed. This is like this example, this picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. His rule and his reign means there's restoration. Nobody's sick. Nobody is demon-possessed. Nobody is overwhelmed with anything like diseases or being epileptics or any of that. And so here's a real challenge, and here's where it clashes, because I don't always see that today. Do you see that always? Do you see everybody healed? Yeah, me neither. And so you wonder, right? You're like, hey, God, real quick, I believe that you're God and I'm not. But if your rule and your reign is to come and be, then wouldn't people not be sick? Wouldn't people not be demon-possessed? Here's the reality. God, in his infinite wisdom, starting with Adam and Eve, said, you get to rule and reign with me. And they were cool with that until they had another option. When the enemy came and said, look, he's just holding out on you. You're not going to die. He's just trying to play hardball with you. He doesn't want you to be like him. Flat out lie, because he made them and us in his image. And his kingdom come, his will be done, his rule and his reign is all they knew until they had a chance to do something else. And they did. And that entered in, and death came with it. And the choice to love and follow God, to understand his rule and reign in our hearts, still is upon us. You get to choose. That's why some of us get it and some of us don't. Some of us want it, some of us don't. I would love to tell you that I'm at a spot in my understanding that all this world needs is enough Christians to believe that the rule and reign of God is complete. And then we could say, no thanks to the hospitals. No thanks to the mental institutions, which tend to be actually prisons in lots of ways. That all we just need is enough faith. No, you know what we need? We need the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ for everybody. That is when the kingdom of heaven is like, someday. But we get glimpses of it today. I pray in Jesus' name, if you're sick, if you're possessed, you're oppressed by demons, that you would be delivered in Jesus' name for his glory. Not so we could say, good, you're finally worth following. But he's good and he's worth following no matter what happens around us. But that's hard, because we want to see it. And so you know what Jesus did? He said, this is for everybody. Syria, the Decapolis, for all those who know Yahweh and those who don't, I'm offering this. I'm here to bring it. I'm here to bring freedom. So you can see in the book of John where he's got a buddy named Lazarus who's dead and been dead for 4 days. And he says, look, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? He says, though a man dies, yet shall he live. There's life beyond this place. There's life in this place, but there's life beyond this place. So it would bear to stand to reason that we would be able to see Jesus teach about his kingdom and what it would look like. And that his kingdom teaching would be like really encapsulated for us and made really, really clear. And so there's what we say. Yeah, he said the greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, the Shema, right? And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Trust me, I'm God, he says. This is how it'll look. And so, graciously, we've been given what's called the Sermon on the Mount. I don't get to teach through all of that, but I'm going to take something from Matthew 5, something from Matthew 6, something from Matthew 7, and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray by ourselves. And some of you are tripping right about now. Look, this is not forced family fun. You get to choose. If you want to get in on it, great. I'll give you a little moment to pray by yourselves, and then I'm going to ask you to pray with people around you, which is kind of a safe move because you sat by somebody that you probably feel comfortable with. But if you want to, you know, choose your own adventure, you could find somebody you don't know very well and pray with them. Okay, let's go. Matthew 5:3, page 809. Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Talks about the Beatitudes. Anybody hear the Beatitudes before? Or just think that's, oh, they just totally mashed a word or two together. Beautiful attitudes. Sounds right. But it's actually blessed. And it's what it means to be truly content, truly fulfilled, truly happy. And you could actually bless God. And there's an idea of approval in there that you approve. God, I approve. You're rad. And so I bless you. I say you're good. And he says to us, you're good and you're fulfilled and you're content when these things are what's real about you. I'm only choosing one at this moment. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is kingdom of heaven. Oh, okay, so well, Luke says that it's poor and poverty has always been a big deal because when you po, you got room for mo. So yeah, great, thanks God. That's so good. No, it's not just about poverty. It's about being humble. It's not a lack of courage. It's a recognition that I'm spiritually bankrupt apart from Yahweh. I don't have what it takes on my own. And you know what? That's okay because God is enough. That's the kingdom. His rule and his reign, not mine. I know money can't buy happiness, but those people look pretty happy or at least comfortable. And I know it's not supposed to work like that, but I'm going to give it another shot over and over and over again. And it's not just money. It's notoriety. It's attention. It's recognition. It's different kind of dumbs. Stardom. Oh, yeah, that would be nice. That I could be famous for more than 15 minutes. More than just in a building. More than just in my house. That'll probably do it. It doesn't do it. And he says, you're truly blessed, you're truly fulfilled, you're truly happy when you're poor in spirit, when you recognize I'm the only one that can fulfill you. And you have to keep coming to that. That's where repent, the kingdom's close, right? Okay, so we're going to fast forward to a little more of this teaching at the end of Matthew 5, 43 through 48. If you're not sure about how powerful Jesus' teaching is and how countercultural it is, this ought to be a pretty good indicator to you. Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And they would have heard that because that was what was taught to them. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's impossible. Yeah, you're going to need God for that. But let's look at what that word really means. Be whole, be complete. Be fulfilled. Do you know that I can be whole and fulfilled and complete and not do everything exactly right? Jesus is the only one who can fulfill you. He's the only one who can complete you. One day, friends, one day, and that's not that heaven is our salvation, and it's certainly not our Savior, but one day there will be no more crying, no more dying, no more stupidity. But I can actually see his kingdom and living in such a way as this, that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit of truth, would teach me how to love people that don't love me back. It's crazy when there's enemies in your own household, right? Look, today among us are a number of people with a number of stories. I know people in this room fairly well. I don't know everybody. But I know a few. I know one named Tiana, who just got back from Lebanon and Costa Rica. Did I just wake you up on that? Sorry, my bad. But she went to this thing called Discipleship Training School. And then she went to outreach in Costa Rica and then Lebanon. She wasn't doing that so she would look cool or that her dad would mention it. Here's an example. She went because she wanted much of Jesus' kingdom in her and through her. It's not the only way, but it's a good way. You give up a ton when you go to serve. But what she got in return was Jesus. More and more. He didn't say, I owe you, girl. He just said, look, you want to be like me? You want to give away your life? You want to serve? I will show you that. She wasn't loving people that would necessarily love her back. And as a Christian in a predominantly Muslim area, that's weird. That's Jesus. Let's go to some more teaching. You guys have been familiar with this one. Matthew 6, 5 through 14. It's on page 811. I want you to remember this. Maybe put your finger in there. I'm going to actually read through 15. And then, you know, at the end of the Lord's Prayer is how it's been gone. A lot of times it's lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, and then it's done. We're going to actually do the part, and I'm going to read the part that's a little note. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. All right, here we go. He's talking about prayer. And when you pray, Jesus says, you must not be like the hypocrites. And this was a title that he had for spiritual leaders that weren't kingdom-minded. They had their kingdom in mind. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Church, what was their reward? People acknowledged them. Wow, look, that dude prays. Wow, look, she can really bring it. They were being acknowledged, and they were doing it for that, and he said they got their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who's in secret will reward you. Part of why it's a weird thing for us to pray in a group is because we don't really pray by ourselves. If Jesus was saying, look, you can only pray by yourself, then there wouldn't be any corporate prayer after this with him. But there was. But he says it's got to start between you and God. And he says, Father, your Father, Abba. This is relational. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they're going to be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I love this little shout out to Proverbs, right? Don't give me too much, Proverbs says, that I might not even think about you, God. And don't give me too little that I might steal and therefore defame your name. Just give me enough food for today. At the age of 48, I've had plenty of food, way beyond what I needed for the day. So give us this day our daily bread, Jesus says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he just, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He's turned this into a relational thing. This is Abba. This would be weird for them. What in the world? He's teaching us to pray like we're in relationship with God. Because we are. Through Jesus Christ, we have that. His kingdom now and his kingdom coming. Do you ever think about that? Your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm sure many of you have said it. When my father-in-law passed away, we prayed this prayer often. It was in some ways, in some of our family members, the only prayer they knew. I don't think Jesus was saying, look, this is the only way you can pray. But this is how. Pray like this. Come to the Father. He's holy and perfect, but he's also Abba, he's Daddy. Look, I want to give you more on that, but more on that later. Let's go to Matthew, the end of Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Jesus had mentioned this earlier, but like your Father knows what you need before you ask him, so come to him and ask him, knowing that he knows that you need food, that you need clothes, that you need things to drink. He takes care of the birds of the air. You're more important than that. He'll take care of you. You ever heard then how come there's people starving? I will humbly ask you this. Is anybody in this room starving? We can help other people. You have a woman sitting among us right now who by God's grace and God's call on her life has been feeding children in this valley out of her own pocket sometimes, out of her own house for years. Operation Sky Valley is among you. You ever heard that song by Matthew West? God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I made you. We can actually help others. We can bring his kingdom. He says, I know you need this. And look how he ends this. It's almost the end of the Sermon on the Mount. But he says, your Father knows what you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first, like you seek to be taken care of and comforted and fed and clothed and all that. Seek like that the kingdom of God, his rule and his reign, his authority, his values, what he wants for you. Look, on August 13th, at the Monroe Fairgrounds, Evergreen State Fairgrounds, is a thing called Decision America with Franklin Graham. There, he's going to be preaching the gospel. Kathy's man crush, Jeremy Camp, is going to be singing there. He's bringing the gospel, and there's prayer. Look, I'm going to be very, very humble with you, and I pointed out, so it's not humble at all, but I'm going to be vulnerable. I don't always like how Franklin Graham brings political stuff into the kingdom of God message. Sometimes it's right on, and sometimes it's like, what? But I love that he's going to preach the gospel. Your pastor can get behind that. I'm inviting you to be a part of that. 7:30 on August 13th. There's all kinds of these really cool that we didn't have to print out invitations right back there. Because this is seeking first his kingdom, not seeking first Republican, not seeking first Democratic, not seeking first any agenda other than kingdom agenda. Well, is he going to talk about anything else? He's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to make much of him. We're going to sing about him. We're going to pray to him. That's good. And it's going to be centrally located for people who live all over the valley. Let's get behind that. Seeking first his kingdom is like, not a big fan of this or not a big fan of hers, but I'm a big fan of Jesus, so I can make much of him. Let's get together in his name. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And then Jesus drops the mic here. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Yeah. We could do snaps on that. We could say word. We could say amen, whatever. But sufficient for the day is its trouble, man. Just trust me. It's hard to do. Look, he went so extra on saying love your neighbor, right? And then guy says, well, who's my neighbor? And he brings up an enemy, and oh, come on, he had to go there. Now I gotta love enemies? What is this guy about? His rule and his reign, he came for everybody. You know what he called his people to do? Not to sit around and talk about it, but to put it into practice. Right here, near the end, actually, yeah, very close to the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said something that I think we need to hear. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Oh. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Look, I want to share these two bonus verses with you. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. The scribes knew, but he was bringing it with authority. So if Jesus is your king, if you want his rule and his reign in your life, I have an actual step for you today. I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray for his rule and his reign in your life, in the lives of your friends and your family. But for some of you, there's a moment that has to happen before you actually pray for that. You need to repent. You need to change directions. You need to quit arguing with God about how he does things. You need to repent. You need to change directions and say, your kingdom come, your will be done, not mine. So wherever you're at, I want to ask that you would take just a couple of moments to pray. Then we're going to pray as a group, and then I'll come in and just pray at the end. But I want to remind you that who you're talking to right now, and Jesus talked about this, isn't people. It's God. Not like that little boy that was like, dear God, help Grandpa share those cookies with me. Honey, Grandma said, why are you being so loud? God's not deaf. No, but Grandpa is, and I want some chocolate chip cookies. This is not talking to Grandpa or Grandma or the people next to you. This is talking to God first and foremost. So let's take time to do that. If you need to repent, it's as simple as saying, I have been wrong. You are God, and I'm not. I don't fully understand this kingdom thing, but I know that it's different than what I'm doing and what I'm seeing. Have your way in me, Jesus. Teach me your way. Go ahead. Now, would you take time to pray with the people next to you? Pray for Jesus' rule and reign in their lives. Please don't take much time at all to find out all of what you can pray for. Set that up for later and have a great week this week doing that. You have July 4th off. Spend some time in the beginning doing that. But find their names if you don't know their names and pray for them. Pray for God's kindness and his rule and his reign, his kingdom, his righteousness in their lives. Please just take a minute to do that. Our Father in heaven, you are holy and perfect, and you know us. I thank you so much for that. We want your kingdom to come, your will to be done. God, not just on Sundays, but every day. God, I know that there's friends of mine in this room right now who are seriously doubting your kingdom. Your rule and your reign is hard for them to take because they're sick. Their loved ones are sick. They've seen demon possession. They haven't seen your rule and your reign where that stuff goes away. God, I pray that if there's anything that they could do to break allegiance with the lies of the enemy and the strongholds that have come their way, that they would absolutely identify that you are God and they are not, that sickness is not, that demons are not. Lord, that they would see that you are the stronghold and you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I pray that we would not be so caught up as to say, if something good happens, then you are God. You are God, no matter what. But I believe that you want your rule and your reign. I don't think that you're waiting someday to set everything right. I believe you're doing that often, daily, every single day. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I also know that there is choice for us. And you've allowed that in the whole idea of kingdom and dominion. Jesus, you've allowed us to choose whether we'll follow you or follow us or follow somebody or something else. And so I pray that at the very heart, literally the heart of man, woman, and child in this room, that we would recognize that you are God and we would see your rule and your reign as the only true way to live. And that we would live that out and that we would help each other live it out. And that we would every day pray for that. God, remembering that you are the one that satisfies, you are the one that provides because you are the provider. And you are the provision. Jesus, thank you for paying a price that only you could pay, but was our debt. And so that's so awesome. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for picking up the tab. You're awesome. And we trust you and we need you. And we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In your perfect name, amen. God bless you.